chapter 3 entitled Karma Yoga, text 33. Sadrasham cheshtate swasya prakrater jnanamanapi prakritim jnanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. Sadrasham cheshtate swasya prakriter jnanamanapi prakritim jnanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? Purport. Unless one is situated on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness, he cannot get free from the influence of the modes of material nature, as it is confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter. Therefore, even for the most highly educated person on the mundane plane, it is impossible to get out of the entanglement of Maya simply by theoretical knowledge or by separating the soul from the body. There are many so-called spiritualists who outwardly pose as advanced in the science, but inwardly or privately are completely under particular modes of nature which are unable to surpass. Academically, one may be very learned, but because of his long association with material nature, he is in bondage. Krishna consciousness helps one to get out of the material entanglement, even though one may be engaged in his prescribed duties in terms of material existence. Therefore, without being fully in Krishna consciousness, one should not give up his occupational duties. No one should suddenly give up his prescribed duties and become a so-called yogi or transcendentalist artificially. It is better to be situated in one's position and try to attain Krishna consciousness under superior training. Thus, one may be free from the clutches of Krishna's Maya. So once, while Krishna was living in Dwarka, he had a headache. So Narad Muni, he asked him, "What will be the medicine for your headache?" So Krishna said, "If I get the dust from the lotus feet of my devotees upon my head, then I'll be cured of this headache." So Narad Muni went to different places asking different devotees that Krishna is having a headache. Please give your dust so that he'll be relieved of his headache. But none of the devotees were willing to give their dust to Krishna, because they knew that it is a big offense and one might have to go to hell for placing the dust from his feet on Krishna's head. So none of them were ready to give their dust. At last Narad Muni went to the gopis of Vrindavan and asked them, "Krishna is having a headache, please give the dust from your lotus feet so that he'll be relieved of this headache, because this is the only medicine for this particular headache that Krishna is getting." So the gopis, they became overwhelmed with anxiety, transcendental anxiety, that Krishna is having a headache and the solution is the dust. Quickly take the dust. And they started producing heaps and heaps of dust, so that even in the future, if Krishna has a headache, he can use that dust. So Narad Muni, when he saw this activity of the gopis, he became surprised. "Don't you know the scriptures? Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So if you give your dust for Krishna, then you might have to go to hell. So the gopis replied, we don't care. If for relieving Krishna of his headache, even for a single moment, we have to go to hell for the rest of eternity, we won't mind. So one senior devotee was narrating this particular pastime in a Sunday feast class. And then he asked the audience, how many of you will be willing to make such a sacrifice for Krishna? Because the gopis' level of devotional service is the highest. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadhu. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself certified that the best way of worshipping Krishna is a method followed by the gopis, and they are the greatest devotees. So their sacrifice is the highest. So to emphasize this point, this devotee asked the question to the audience, how many of you will be willing to make such a sacrifice for Krishna? And obviously no one is expected to raise his hands. But one person, I think he was sitting here somewhere, he was confidently raising his hand. A very new person. Very new person. Maybe he has come for the temple first or second time. And he said, I am ready to make this sacrifice for Krishna. So it was like confusing. Such a high level of devotional service right at the outset. But this is what happens. When a person is introduced to Krishna consciousness, everything is new. So the devotee, he feels that, you know, it's like I'll become a pure devotee within a very short time. Few months and then I'm pure devotee. And our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that this is a symptom of anishtita bhakti, that is, Utsahamai, this is one of the symptoms. The person feels very enthusiastic, and that is very good, that someone feels enthusiastic about his devotional service, but many times he overestimates his own capability to render pure devotional service. Initially one feels that I love Krishna, oh Krishna, Kana, one feels. But after some time, he only remembers Khana. He forgets Khana. But after some time, one understands that I don't have any love for Krishna. Initially, one feels that I got a lot of love for Krishna because he's newly introduced. But developing love for Krishna and rendering of pure devotional service is not a cheap thing. Because we have got lot of material desires. Lot of material desires are there, deep within. And initially we are just understanding the tip of the iceberg, and slowly, slowly more and more comes out. It seems to be inexhaustible. Like in Gopal's garden, they were building underground tank. And for the underground tank, they had to cut down a tree. Because it was occupying the place where the underground tank was supposed to be built. So they cut down the tree. And for the underground tank, you have to remove the whole tree with its roots. And they went on digging. And the roots were going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And practically the digging work would never stop because some of the trees, their roots are longer than what is seen on the outside. So, similarly, the desire, the material desire of the living entity is very, very deep rooted. Yat pada pankasha palasha vilasa bhaktya karma shayan ghratitam udghratayanti santaha tadvinna rittamatayo yatayopi urdha shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Karmashyam ghratitam udghratiyanti santa. That is, the bondage to material desires is very, very deep rooted of the living entity. Since time immemorial, we have been trying to find happiness in matter. Trying to find happiness in material things, and we are habituated to it. To find happiness in material things. So all of a sudden when we hear that material things won't give you pleasure, only by serving Krishna, one can derive satisfaction. One might understand it intellectually, but one is habituated so much to derive happiness from matter, that it is almost instinctive to try to derive happiness from matter. Even before one understands, he has already started contemplating on trying to extract some happiness from materialistic endeavors. So it's very deep rooted. What is the solution? Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya. When one renders devotional service unto the lotus feet, unto the toes of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only then it is possible. Tadvinna riktamatayo yatayopi ruddha. By any other method it is not possible. Shroto gana samaranam bhajavasudevam. The comparison is given that the spontaneous desire to enjoy matter is like a strong flowing river within our heart. It is so overwhelming, it is constantly flowing. To stop its flow is extremely difficult. Even though we understand, even in our 6-day Bhagavad Gita course, if one attends, one understands that trying to find happiness in matter, it is futile. We see the world around us, it is futile. We are trying to find happiness, but the world is becoming a more and more miserable place to live in. Just like the United States of America, the example that is given very often. They represent the pinnacle of material development. But who can say they are a happy country? With growing suicide rates, with growing mental disorders, with growing cases of mental depressions, and more unhappiness, how can we say that they are a growing nation truly? So it's a classic example that even if you advance materially, that does not guarantee happiness. Happiness is a different commodity. Pleasure of the senses is different from happiness. People generally tend to equate pleasure of the senses with happiness. But these are two different commodities. You might get pleasure of the senses, doesn't mean you are happy. Happiness is a state of the heart. So we can see from the statistics, it's visible all around us that it is futile. So one might understand it theoretically. But still, the flow of the river is so fast within the heart. The flow of the river of material desires, so powerful that any attempts to stop the flow is very difficult. But then, the river eventually meets the sea, and when there is a high tide in the sea, then the water of the sea takes over the current of the river. So similarly, when a devotee, yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya, he is using his intelligence constantly to serve the Supreme Lord. Constantly utilizing his intelligence, planning how I can serve the Supreme Lord, then stagnant material desires are overflooded by his desire to serve Krishna. So that is the way of overcoming material desires. So one has to become more intense in his service to Krishna, more and more and more and more, in order to overcome the effect of material desires, even though it is coming within the heart. But nonetheless, they are there. And to overcome it is not so easy. One has to really put himself fully, become more and more sincere and serious about it, if one is genuinely wanting to overcome material desires within his heart and taste Krishna consciousness, the sweet nectar of Krishna consciousness. Is not a cheap thing. One has to work hard, take more shelter of the Lord. And then one can derive great satisfaction by the service of the Lord, so much so that the enjoyment derived by sense pleasure becomes insignificant. The pleasure derived by the service is so overwhelming that the pleasure derived by sense gratification becomes insignificant. But one point has to be acknowledged, as it is given in this purport, that there are material desires, nonetheless, to begin with. So what is to be done? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, during sadhana bhakti or devotional service in practice, so long as one has material desires within the heart, one should stay within the confines of varnashram. So varnashram, so one has to stay within the confines of varnashram as long as one has material desires. One should not artificially act as if he is beyond the stage of varnashram dharma. Prabhupada, in this regard, he used to speak about Babaji's in Vrindavan, Mayapur and other places. They act as if they are on a transcendental platform and they are not within the purview of material desires. But then it is seen that they are engaged in all kinds of illicit activities, intoxications, illegitimate connection with women. So it is seen, but so when a common public sees such people, they lose all faith in religion. They lose faith in spirituality. Because they are artificially acting as if they are transcendental, but they are not on the transcendental platform. So even though one might be knowing that the goal of life is to serve Krishna, please Krishna, and we are servants of Krishna, still, as long as we have material desires, we should not artificially act as if we are transcendental to the modes of material nature. Prabhupada remarked, regarding these Babaji's, we can tell all these Babaji's, they should be employed, chant Hare Krishna and draw a plow. Then it will be nice. So they have to be honest and engaged within the varnashram system. Now what is this varnashram system? Simply speaking, it is division of societies into four varnas and four ashramas. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Grahastas, Vanaprastas and Sannyasis. This is division of society, Varanashram. But there are different kinds of Varanashram. One is spontaneous Varanashram. Now spontaneous Varanashram means what? Just like typical Western civilization. Now, who is a Brahmana, who is a Vaishya, who is a Kshatriya, who is a Shudra? There is no definite division of society as such. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Say if you go to Argentina and ask them, who are the Brahmanas in your society? They won't have an answer. Similar is the case with other Varanas or Ashrams. But Srila Prabhupada said that this Varanashram system, Chatur Varanyam Maya Srishtam, Krishna says, I have created Varanashram. So Krishna has created means no one can destroy it. So even though they have not consciously divided society into four varnas and ashrams, still spontaneously society is divided into four varnas. How? Prabhupada, when he went to Russia, he asked Kotowski, professor, he asked him, aren't there a class of intelligent people in your society? He said, yes, there are. Intelligent people like professors, yes, there are. So they are Brahmanas. So aren't there an administrative class in your society who take care of the government? Yes, there are. So they are Kshatriyas. Similarly, mercantile community, they are Vaishyas. And working class, they are Shudras. They are found in all societies. But they are spontaneously divided. No definite classification is done. So it is called spontaneous Varnashram. Spontaneously society is divided. Inevitably. Even though the segregation is not so perfect. Just like some years ago, there was a US president who had very, very wonderful Kshatriya qualities. That means he was a good administrator, making laws, making policies, very shrewd politician. But then after some time, it was found that he was involved with some scams, some connection with some women. Which is the quality of a Shudra, or maybe worse than a Shudra, to have such illicit connections. So now it is all mixed. Sometimes he feels someone is Kshatriya, sometimes he feels he is Shudra, sometimes he feels he is Brahmana, sometimes he feels he is Vaishya. So it is all mixed in today's society, in the Western system. But nonetheless, broadly there are four classifications. We cannot deny it. So this is spontaneous Varanashram. Second is Asuric Varanashram, which is in one sense worser, which is prevalent in India. That is, so there is still Varanashram. If you walk on the street, many times, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, someone will say, I am also Brahman. So, you still find people claiming themselves to be Brahmanas, some people claiming themselves to be Kshatriyas, some Vaishyas, some Shudras. Few Shudras. Most of them want to be Brahmanas, Kshatriyas. But what is the reason for classifying themselves? It is some selfish interest, selfish motivations. To gain some prestige, to gain some honor, and worse still, to maintain one's livelihood. One claims himself to be a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So, Varnashram is there, society is divided, but for a very detrimental third class cause. Like in one place, holy place which I visited, a person was sitting like this on an elevated seat, and he was sitting, his feet exposed, and he is in his own world doing so many things. And on this side, so many people are coming, touching his feet, putting some coins and going. So he is doing his own thing, but coin is accumulating here. And his feet is becoming cleaner and cleaner. Both things are happening simultaneously. So the consideration is, he is gaining some money out of his position as a Brahmana. What his qualities are, and what his character is, that is irrelevant. So this is Asuric Varnashram system. But what is Daivi Varnashram system? The society is scientifically divided into four Varnas and four Ashramas. And the classifications of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is according to one's quality, according to one's character, according to one's training, and according to one's work. One has to have the qualities of a Brahmana to call himself a Brahmana. Similarly, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And he has to be trained. Training is also required. So one might be having Brahminical tendency, but unless he is trained as a Brahmana, he cannot be a Brahmana. So this is Daivi Varnashram system. And what is the purpose of the Varnashram system?
This Parashara Muni says, Varanashramacharavata Purushena Parappuman Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha Nanyat Tattosha Karanam. The purpose of Varanashram system is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if the society is compared to a body, the head of the society are the Brahmanas. The arms are the Kshatriyas who protect the body. The head gives direction. The Brahmanas give direction to society. Vaishyas are those who maintain the society by their activities. So they are compared to the stomach. And the Shudras are compared to the legs. Now every part of the body has its utility in order for the smooth functioning of the body. Every part is important. The legs are also important. The head is the most important, of course. And then the arms are also very important. The belly is important. And the leg is definitely not unimportant. It is important. It has got a great role to play for the smooth functioning of the body. So in the ideal Varanashram system, the legs or the Shudras are never looked down upon. Because they have got their position in society they have got their duty in society to render. Prabhupada was once saying to a governor of some state that what happened in Indian society was Shudras, they were looked upon, they were so exploited. So then they converted into Muslims. And now separate state, and whole life you wage war against Pakistan. This is the outcome. So much tension still going on. Because of the problem created by our ancestors. Still we have to have so much of tension against Pakistan and threat of war every now and then. Prabhupada made this point. Because the Shudras were so much looked down upon as if they were unwanted elements of society. Actually the Shudras are to be maintained properly. That is the duty of the other three Varnas. But when they are looked down upon and when they are made to feel that they are unimportant and useless in society, they feel dejected. And when they got an alternative to convert into another religion, they readily adopted it. But in the ideal Varanashram system, there is no discrimination. There is discrimination, but there is nothing looking down upon. Everyone is important. Everyone has a role to play. So, all the parts of the body are important for the body to function properly. So everyone is maintained properly and their material needs are taken care of in the Varanashram system. Their material needs are properly taken care of. The needs of the body, the needs of the mind, they are taken care of. Because even though one knows that I am not the body, I am the soul, theoretically, as this verse points out, even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. Even though one might know technically and academically that I am not the body, I am the soul, still it is difficult to act on a platform beyond the body and the mind. So as long as one is not transcendental, completely freed from the bodily concept of life, one has to take care of the needs of the body and the mind as well. So the Varanashram system was so designed that the needs of the body, the needs of the mind were properly taken care of. So the entire focus is on how to please the Supreme Personality of God. So at any level a person might be situated, the needs of the body, the needs of the mind are taken care. And then the whole society has a unifying goal of satisfying Krishna. Toshanam, Vishnu Toshanam, of satisfying Krishna. So at whatever level a person might be situated, if he simply becomes part of the system, then he is getting purified gradually. The needs of the body, the needs of the mind is taken care of and he is purified gradually. This is the beautiful concept of Varnashram Dharma. And this is the ideal Vedic society. Gradual purification while taking care of the needs of the body and the mind. Because one is not transcendental. But we see today in today's society what is happening. Because the aim of life to satisfy Krishna is forgotten, people are so engrossed simply on the bodily platform that even the needs of the body and mind are not taken care of in today's society. The emphasis on the body and mind is so great. But still, the irony is, the needs of the body and mind is not taken care of. To earn one's livelihood, one has to work like a donkey for hours, especially in recession, more and more work hard. And the mind is not satisfied also. One has to take sleeping pills, or one has more and more tension, anxiety. What is the proof? You see in the local train, every time you travel, you see at least one fight. Now, there is nothing big going on in the local train. But the problem is, you know, someone's elbow touches you and you immediately become frustrated. The mind becomes disturbed and immediately there is a fight. Someone tells father's mother's name, another person becomes angry, why are you taking my father's mother's name? And immediately the fight starts, sometimes fist fight also. What is the reason? Because people are lost peace of mind in today's society. Always some anxiety, some tension is bothering them. If there is a rubber band and you just touch it, nothing will happen. It will move to this side and that's all. But if you take a rubber band, stretch it. And now it is in tension. The rubber band, technically it's in tension. Now it is stretched. And now you touch the rubber band. It will start vibrating and it will go on vibrating for a long time. Similarly, if a person is normal, little agitation won't bother him so much. Then he is peaceful and he goes on. But nowadays people are so stretched. At home, family members are pulling him, get more money. And office, boss is stretching him. Work harder, stretching him beyond limits with the growing tension that you are going to lose your job. So the person is stressed so much tension builds up in him. So in the local train, even slight vibration and it produces so much sound. And the vibration goes on and on and on and on and is disturbed. And even after that person gets down, he's telling the story to the other passengers. Even after he gets down, he goes to the home and tells the story to his wife, maybe children. Little agitation and people are so disturbed. Why? No peace of mind in today's society. Needs of the body, needs of the mind, not fulfilled. Isn't it strange? This is the reaction, because the goal of the human form of life is to please Krishna. But when that goal is forgotten, and we think about satisfying our senses more and more and more and more, we fail in our endeavor to satisfy the senses also. And even our mind and senses are disturbed all the time. But the Varnashram system, very peacefully the needs of the body and mind is taken care of. The brahmanas, they are working, they are doing their duties properly, of giving direction to the society. Kshatriyas, they are administrating the whole society properly. Vaishyas, they are doing krishi, goraksha, vanijyam, taking care of the cows, taking care of the land, and then doing their business, paying their taxes. And the shudras, they are doing their occupation. There is no undue competition between the societies. It is not that the Shudra is dreaming, when will I become Brahmana? Or the Kshatriya is dreaming, when I will become Brahmana? Or Brahmana is wondering, when I will become Kshatriya? No. But today's society, you see, undue competition. Everybody wants to become engineer. Few years ago, this was the trend at least. Everybody wanted to become engineers and doctors. Then everybody wanted to become CAs. And then everybody wanted to become MBA. Now MBA. Everybody wants to become manager. Then who will be managed? So this is society. Undue competition. There is no consideration of one's natural tendency towards work. What is one's quality? What is one's inclination? Is not considered. Simply brainwashing. You become this, 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 this. That's all. But that is not the Varnashram system. No undue competition. So, nicely the needs of the body and the mind is taken care of. And everyone's focus is geared towards pleasing Krishna. And different people are at different levels of advancement. Just like it is told in this verse, some people, they might be only knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and our goal is to satisfy Krishna. But they might be on a level where they are full of material desires. And someone else, like Arjun, when he was fighting, he was acting as a Kshatriya. But nonetheless, he was acting on the level of pure devotional service. Externally, he was a Kshatriya. But he was actually acting at the level of pure devotional service. So, Varnashram, all levels of people are taken care of. All levels of people. At whatever level they are, they are gradually making advancement from that particular level towards perfection. And Prabhupada's desire was to establish such Varnashram system in today's world. Like in 1977, Ambarish Prabhu recollects, Prabhupada was in his last days on the planet. He was in Vrindavan. And he said, actually I have no lamentation. He meant to say that I have done all work that is required for the people of this world to achieve perfection, spiritual perfection. I have done it all. So there is nothing more I have to do. So I got no lamentation. No, this lamentation is not material. It is spiritual lamentation, if at all. And then he paused and he said, but I have got one lamentation. And a devotee said, because you have not finished the Srimad Bhagavatam? It's a very, very valid question, because Srimad Bhagavatam is Prabhupada's life's work. That was his desire, to give Srimad Bhagavatam to the entire society. Because simply by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes in the preface, that a person, simply by the time he reaches the ninth canto, he'll become a self-realized soul. So he wanted to give this Srimad Bhagavatam because this is the Amala Puran. Simply by studying this literature, one can be completely purified and attain perfection. So he wanted to complete it. So devotee asked, maybe that is your lamentation, that you are not able to finish Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, no. He said, I'm not able to install Varnashram system in society. Why was this a botheration for Srila Prabhupada? In Mayapur, Prabhupada once was saying, we are doing everything in a small scale right now. Not everyone in society is expected to become Brahmanas and Sannyasis. And right now, Prabhupada was telling, we are only able to attract a certain section of society who are ready to take up Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly. So it's going on a small scale. Because not everyone is at a level where he can wholeheartedly accept all the principles of Krishna consciousness and take wholeheartedly to the system of sadhana bhakti. But see, the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, we have to do it on a big scale. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, paropakar. We should not be satisfied that only we have come to Krishna consciousness and that is sufficient. No, Prabhupada, his intention was big scale, that is bringing the entire world within the umbrella of Krishna consciousness. But we cannot expect everyone to start chanting Hare Krishna also actually. Not everyone is on that level. There are 4 lakh human species. But by establishing Varnashram system, Prabhupada wanted to introduce a system by which all classes of every section of society is taken care of. And he is given an opportunity to grow in Krishna consciousness from his level. That was his compassion. That is why he was lamenting that I was not able to do this. I could complete only 50%. I couldn't establish Varnashram system. Because establishing Varnashram means every member of the entire world is taken care of. Even though he may not be able to immediately adopt principles of sadhana bhakti. Someone asked Prabhupada, how are you going to implement it towards the end? Prabhupada said, I will go to Gita Nagari, which is a farm community in Pennsylvania, United States, farm community of ISKCON. He said, I'll go sit there and teach you how to live off the land. So this was Prabhupada's practical way of implementing Varnashram. And in fact, Prabhupada was so enthusiastic that towards the end, he was practically on bed. And still his enthusiasm was there to preach Krishna consciousness. And he told that I'll go to London for Rath Yatra. From there I'll go to Gita Nagari to encourage them to establish the farm community. So establishing farm is the foundation of Varnashram. Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam. Without the protection of cows, the Brahminical culture and the land, there is no question of developing the Varnashram system in society. In fact, Krishna and Balram demonstrated it. Balram holds a plow in his hand to till the field. And Krishna, he's got a flute to call the cows. And he's got a robe around his shoulders to tie the cows, to tie their hind legs while milking them. So Krishna and Balram are demonstrating that for an ideal human society, growing food on the land, using the cows and the bulls is important, and then protection of the cow is also important. These are foundational principles for development of Varnashram. So we see that now Prabhupada had such a foresight that he started farm communities even in the 70s. Because he knew that the modern civilization is not going to last for long. It's an artificial civilization. How long can it last? And we see it in today's society. Things are crumbling. Economic system is collapsing. And then the very substance that is fueling the economy, by which people are running around so fast, on land, on water, in the air, they are so restlessly running here and there to earn more money, that very fuel is getting exhausted. And people don't know what to do. But if one understands the Vedic system of Varnashram and how the land and the cow is so important, and how to cultivate the land according to the Vedic version is so important, then all the systems can be, all the problems can be solved. And we can see our temple is also developing the farm at Wada. It's a step towards gaining this goal. Krishna wants everybody to come back to the spiritual world at whatever level they are. So Thank you very much. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for your kind lecture. Here in this text, it is said that an intelligent person or a knowledgeable person or a learned person, he acts according to his own nature. It means that even if, suppose one is Krishna conscious, he acts according to his own nature. And the other person, the general persons, those who are ordinary persons, they are under the influence of the three modes of the material nature. And they are under the material nature. So the learned person, how the learned person can act so that he can be in Krishna consciousness. And in the last of this text, it is Krishna says that in this way, everyone is means under the influence of the material nature. So what can they achieve? Suppose a learned person is also under the influence of the material nature. What can they achieve what can they do like that? Yeah. Please.
So the example which he gave last week, that the difference is a learned person is like this fan is rotating. He gave this example. So a learned person, he switches off the fan. That is, he understands that material activities are useless, material desires are useless, and the only desire worth cultivating are desires to please Krishna. So he has understood this principle. So he is learned and he is intelligent. So now he has decided not to engage in material activities anymore and to act in Krishna consciousness. So that means switching off the fans. He won't make endeavors to increase his material desires anymore. So just switch off the fan and slowly, slowly the fan stops rotating in due course of time. So initially it is difficult for him, even though he has decided. He doesn't want material desires because already there are material desires, they come up. But after some time, because of his Krishna conscious practice, because he is using his intelligence to serve Krishna more and more, the material desires are subjugated in due course of time and he becomes a pure devotee. That means the fan comes to a halt. But the problem is today's society is you switch off the fan and one person is here using a stick trying to rotate the fan still. So we see people who have knowledge. Someone comes to the temple and understands that material desires are not good and Krishna consciousness is very good. So he feels that I don't want material desires anymore. But once he goes outside, the world is filled with people who are with sticks trying to rotate the fan again. Bombardment from all sides, advertisement, which are geared towards inducing newer and newer material desires, which I had never thought of before. New material desires are invoked within the system. So Varnashram system means the society is so arranged that such a thing is not done. That no one is sitting with a stick trying to rotate the fan again. So once a person has decided no more material desires, then the society is such, the Vedic society is such, that newer and newer material desires are not created within his heart. But today's society, everything geared towards increasing material desires. Even though a person has decided, he finds it very difficult. Nonetheless, Krishna's grace is there. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we take shelter of the holy names, chanting Hare Krishna sincerely, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then it is possible that all material desires will go away and will become purified, and then we will taste the bliss of service to Krishna. It is possible by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is ordinarily not possible in the scenario of Kali Yuga. It's a very difficult age. Okay? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.